April is National Poetry Month, and Public Radio 90 observes the occasion by presenting readings by poets from the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. Esther Margaret Ayers is a native of Marquette. She is a poet, a writer, and a piano and music teacher. She wrote the libretto of the orchestral song cycle, Bagadabe Niyashi, as well as the libretto to A Child's Requiem and White Stones.
I'm a child of the Cold War. I was born into that time, and it lasted a long time. In the mid-1980s, when my children were very young, B-52 bombers frequently flew at low altitudes over our neighborhood on their way to or from K.I. Sawyer, which at that time was a strategic air command base, fully armed with nuclear weapons. I've been a pianist as well as a writer most of my life, and even then, I was usually at one keyboard or another. This first poem is dedicated to composer Johann Sebastian Bach. It begins with an epigraph from Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Prelude and Fugue in Early Spring for J.S. Bach. 1. In a century you could not have imagined, I sit this morning at a keyboard you never knew. My coffee cools on the sill. Outside my children play, the girl on her tricycle, the boy with plastic dinosaurs, while all around them spring crackles and snaps beneath dying snowbanks. My hands, winter stiff, ache and bulk before these cold keys, white and black, sun on snow, the leafless oak. Airplanes pass. I cannot pray. I open the book to the page upon which your shadow fell, and find the notes of black and white you left, a map charting music, the journey you made to the glory of God. I can only follow burdened, dragging my life, my skein of color. 2. At the first note, a fiddlehead fern lifts a green scroll, calls others who come, curled and ancient, who pause in new light upon their stems, trembling, these who cannot travel but expand, rooted in a music like sap, which must rise. Down the block my child paddles up the hill toward a song she can scarcely hear above the squeak of three old wheels. It's hard work and her legs are short. She stops to listen, rolling backward. In the yard my son sets snares for his beasts, crouches inside bare bushes, sword drawn, while lilac buds swell all around him. The ground rumbles. From Sawyer's base, thunder blooms. A B-52 stratofortress lumbers north, scoring the sky, etching a staff empty of music above our heads, and vanishes over the horizon. Wind stirs. Lines blur. Again, the tricycle creaks up the hill. The ferns still pipe their filigree of desire. But I have lost my way, can only see the blackest of thunder ahead, only the lightning that bursts from the seeds of bombs. I would leave this busy tune now, free my son from his own trap, push my daughter up the damned hill, hold them, shield them with my body from the blast of red, the barb of green. But I too am caught, held by the fingers to my instrument, repeating the lesson of the cliff, climb or die. Outside, the world has caught fire. Green jumps from stubble to stump, to fern and bush and hill, and will not stop, not even were that lightning loosed, not even for death, though flames spring through it and fern, girls, sun's song, my hands on the keys, all of us groping through this fugue toward our God. We hold our breaths as ferns unfurl, fronds spread, hands join here at the end, the beginning. Only us now, rain and the sun, which fall and shine on the evil and the good. The second poem is set 20 years earlier, during my own childhood. First, the siren blared as we'd been drilled. Our second and third grade class spilled into the windowless hall. It was late September 1962. It could have been the start of nuclear war. My dad, World War II veteran, justice of the peace in our town, had built an air raid shelter under our basement stairs, sandbagged, stocked with water, food, iodine, antibiotics, flashlight, radio, and spare batteries. "I want to go home," I whispered to my older sister, our heads between our knees. "Shut up," she hissed. "It's just a tornado. Didn't you see the sky turn green?" She was mad because the boy we both liked was wedged next to me instead of her. The lights went out. I began to cry and must have leaned into Jeffrey in the hot darkness, for I felt his arm come round my shoulder, give me a little squeeze. A roaring train passed overhead, windows shattered, doors banged, children screamed as I received my first trembling kiss.
These National Poetry Month readings are a Public Radio 90 production, recorded and produced in the facilities of WNMU-FM at Northern Michigan University. I'm producer and host Kurt Hosworth, with assistance in recording from Hans Ahlstrom. Thanks for listening.